The following Dharma talk was done by Lawrence Doan Greco at Open Sky Zen in New York City. For more information about Open Sky, please visit www.openskyzen.com.
Yeah, so what I want to talk about is how can we meditate if we have busy lives, or if we feel really distracted, or if you find it very difficult to make time for a formal practice, you know, seated on the cushion or on the chair, legs are crossed, feet are flat on the floor, and we're like this. And let's face it, not everyone here does it every day, right? Or those of us even with established practices, it's very easy to miss a day or 2 days or to not want to do it. So having said that, what can we do to make meditation doable in our everyday lives, especially if you're just busy, if you have too much going on? What do you do? So I like what you said about, you mentioned about how we create more gaps between our thoughts, right? That is part of the benefit of meditation practice, so that over time, there's this gradual effect. Just like if you've ever gone outside on a very misty, damp day, and you kind of think, boy, do I need my umbrella today? And no, you don't need your umbrella because it's not really raining. And you walk around for 5 minutes and you're fine. You walk around for 10 minutes and you're fine. And then 20 minutes later, you're soaked, right? Even though it's not technically raining, doesn't look like you need an umbrella, but you're soaked without realizing it. That's sort of the benefits of meditation and how they come about. It happens very gradually. And you have this very gradual shift of perspective that takes place. So you might look at yourself, you know, today versus a year ago and how you respond to certain situations and see, boy, that's an improvement. That's different. I used to get angry a lot more easily, right? Or I used to be more reactive, or I used to be more jealous, or I used to be more stingy. And it's gradual, and you don't always notice it until something comes up that used to spark some other kind of behavior in you, and now another kind of behavior or emotional state or mind state is apparent. So, you know, even in the Buddha's day, he knew he was dealing with people like farmers, right, shepherds, parents, people who had regular lives and couldn't do what he was doing, which was really wandering around, teaching the Dharma, leading his monks and nuns around, and, you know, hanging out in this forest and that one, and moving based on the season, and begging for food every day. Not everyone could live a life that way. You know, most of us cannot. So he was very sensitive to that and aware of the fact that we have to find a way to make this work in our everyday life. So, you know, the question is, how do you? So it is possible to work this into your daily life. And it does take some creativity, and it takes at least a loose structure. So coming up with some structure. Like, let's say, if you're just not sitting, like, I always recommend 5 minutes a day, great. 10 minutes a day, great. Even just 15 minutes a day, if you could sit, perfect. If you're not gonna do that, or if your life is really too busy and you find when you get home all you wanna do is, like, plots in front of the TV, find a way to work it in incrementally throughout your day. And it doesn't have to be sitting still with your eyes half open, following your breath. It could be, let's say, here's an example, very concrete example. Tomorrow my goal is 15 one-minute sessions of meditation throughout the day. I mean, does that sound doable? 1 minute? Is anyone so busy that they can't commit to a minute 15 times during the day, right? Then 1 minute of what is the question? Let's say, all right, 1 minute, 15 times tomorrow, I'm going to simply notice the sensation of the ground against my feet as I'm walking. That's it. Here's your walking meditation for 1 minute. Even like if you have an iPhone, set a reminder or use the timer. We have so many ways now of keeping track of time, right? If you have beads, keep track on your beads. 15, count 15 or mark them. There's a million ways to do it. It's very simple. Set reminders for yourself. Do whatever you have to do. Put a post-it on your desk as a reminder to take a break and for 1 minute either notice the sensation of the ground against your feet as you walk from here to the bathroom, from here to the cafe, from here to the subway. That's all. That could be your practice one day. The next day, you can meditate with sound. That's why I introduced it during the meditation practice earlier. That's just working with that sense of sound. So 1 minute, let's say tomorrow I'm going to do 10 minutes, 1 minute at a time of sound practice, auditory practice. Just noticing sound, whatever I'm hearing for that 1 minute. So during your lunch break, you're sitting at the park or in the cafeteria or you're at home. What am I hearing in this during this 1 minute? And you don't have to look crazy. You don't have to look like you're doing anything special. Just do what you're doing, and that's your practice. No one has to even know. So the key is to work with that sense or that sensation and simply notice it as it is without any commentary, without any extras, right? Without, like, hold the ketchup, hold the lettuce. Just don't add anything to it. Just notice the sound without judging it as good or bad. Because that's what we tend to do. We're constantly weighing and balancing what we like and don't like. Even as you sat here, if you did work with sound, there might have been some sounds that, oh, I like that. I like the sound of the wind rustling through trees. I like the sound of birds. But I don't like those people laughing over there. It was annoying. So the practice is, how can you treat all of your experiences with equanimity and with acceptance and openness? Because that's what spills out into our everyday life. That's the whole point. It's not to be good meditators. It's to be, you know, people who can live with some sanity and not go up and down based on the current conditions around us. That's just not any good. It's no way to live. We've all tried it. And that's why we get depressed. That's why we get anxious. Every time something seems to be going right, then we're happy. Then something gets screwed up. Then we're not happy. Then we have a good relationship. And then we're happy. And then we get dumped. And we're not. I'm telling you, it's no way to live. It doesn't mean we're going to be beyond emotion or beyond feelings. That doesn't happen. We're human beings. We should have feelings. But we can learn to recover more quickly and just accept life more as it is and not always wish for it to be some other way. So what other ways is there to practice? Do I have any more notes here? Another thing I do sometimes is I let, like, jarring sounds, I treat it the way if I lived in a monastery. Like, sometimes they'll just, like, spontaneously, like, hit a gong or a bell or a stick to, like, remind people to wake up and be present or to notice what's going on right in that moment. So I use sounds that way. So especially I notice, like, I'm walking down the street and I hear a truck, go over a pothole or something, and it makes it really loud, like, boom, 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 kind of sound. And then all of a sudden, it wakes me up, and I notice, oh, God, I've been lost in thought for the last 5 minutes, not even paying attention to what I'm doing. I'm just walking around on autopilot, lost in my head, not noticing anything going on around me. So that, woke me up. Thank you, right? Or, like, when I was sitting here, and I think you walked in, I was dozing off. And then when I heard the door slam, it woke me up. I was like, oh, good. That was good. I was glad you came here late. Yeah, that's a good door for that, right? But people think that's a distraction, like that's the obstacle. No, that's what you have to work with, right? So we don't make, nothing in life has to be an obstacle unless we decide it's an obstacle. So whatever crap comes your way, those are your tools at that moment. That's what you have to work with. Otherwise, I mean, you do have a choice. We'll say, what choice do you have? The choice is to bitch and moan and complain about everything that happens to us that isn't pleasing to us, or to work with whatever happens to us and use it as a means to understand ourselves and the world better. Like, which would you rather? Which makes more sense? And which leads to happiness? I think B. Anything. See, anything you can work with, like Su Yang mentioned, you know, we could washing dishes or working. That becomes your practice in that moment. Changing a bird feeder. Brilliant. I practice sometimes with looking at really unpleasant, like yesterday, It was like really nice. It's been nice out lately. So yesterday I was really enjoying just walking around, and the temperature's been nice, and looking at, I love the way the trees look this time of year, and I love the city so much. So I was just walking around appreciating a lot of things. And then I purposely started looking at things that most would find unpleasant, like I saw some dog poo and some flies near it. And I decided to look at that with the same eyes I looked at these really nice trees on my block. It sounds weird, but it's not so weird. That's how can we develop equanimity. That's another form of practice. And not distinguishing between good and bad, and you know. So I don't have to be beholden to outer circumstances anymore. That's what I'm aspiring to. And it's kind of cool. Like, you know, there's something kind of cool about everything you look at, like this crappy room. Well, it's not that crappy, actually, but there's certain aspects of it that are crappy, right? Are you like, yeah, I've grown to love it. I've been here for 2 years now, but yeah, and they've improved it drastically. You know, so just, yeah, that's a good point. So that could be your practice, really. Or just sitting, doing something, just one thing, and not multitasking for a change. Like, can you just eat your lunch without reading the paper or a book? Can you just drink your coffee without anything other attached to it? You know? I've even like been using these more like during the day, just to keep myself more awake, just like having a physical thing to touch a lot, just to keep myself like, okay, this is where you are. You don't have to revisit your past. You don't have to figure out your whole life right now. I can't solve the problems of the world. You know, I can't decide the presidential election. I can't, you know, I can't. There are things I can do right now.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information about Open Sky Zen, please visit www.openskyzen.com.